Good evening. I'd like to call the April 17th, 2012 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members.
Mr. Stein?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chop?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Ferreira?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer? Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAtee?
Present.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne has asked to be excused. Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Ms. Pryor?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa has also asked to be excused. Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Is 13 members present?
No.
No.
12?
12. Excuse me.
Thank you. Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desk.
Thank you. We have some members in the audience. Do we have any members of the public here? Okay. Ellen McAllister. Hi, Ellen. Come on out.
Here?
Yes. Are there any members of the public, sort of civilians, not municipal officials? Okay, great.
Yes, I'm Ellen McAllister. I represent the Third Ward of Common Council on City Council, so I guess I'm not a civilian. I am here just in a role to give a quick update, and as the liaison for this year to the County Board of Reps, we're doing things somewhat differently. People like Mr. Robinson get to see us every day, but most of you don't. I just wanted to say a couple of things that the county board may or may not be aware of in terms of what the city of Ithaca is up to these days. First of all, at the beginning of this year, we have restructured our committees somewhat. We used to have two standing committees, planning and economic development and city administration. We now have a third, which is called Government Performance and Accountability, GPA, and it really is that. And its mission is to foster greater government accountability by setting priorities for and analyzing the efficiency of city government operations, promote increased citizen participation, and develop an infrastructure that will move the city towards a performance management system and a city report card. We have gotten quite a bit done on this committee already. We had a council retreat. A full council retreat in February, at which we looked at a consultant's report on how to restructure government and how to change some of the priorities that we're looking at. We are all, of course, doing more with less, and we're very interested in streamlining a lot of government functions at the same time while we continue to be accountable to our constituents. From that retreat, we have managed to set a number of priorities for ourselves to work on the coming year and actually into the next couple of years. One of the things that we'd very much like to be looking at, but we're really not there yet, we had a presentation from the county at our last committee meeting, Joe Mariani, and was very helpful in terms of how the city approaches its budget, and both in review and in terms of setting priorities. The city, of course, would like to look more towards the county model, but without a city manager or some other comparable position, we're not in a position to do that. But we are looking at that, and in that same vein, I would just say that in terms of how we approach the budget this year, as you're probably well aware, we spend most of October with many, many special budget meetings. We will continue to do that this year, but I think with a somewhat different eye about how we, what we end up with. We're looking at a $3 million shortfall, and we will be asking departments for a sort of different set of criteria about how they approach their budgets and how we review them. I'll have more on that in the coming months. I wanted to mention quickly two other things. The city is at the point where it is finishing its comprehensive plan, which has been in the works for quite a while. The consultants have been out interviewing numerous stakeholder groups. We've had something like 700 responses to the online survey, which is terrific. Not only neighborhoods, but all kinds of stakeholders have been actively sought out to participate in this effort. So that you can find online if you go to the city website. It's well worth looking at it. there are some broad themes emerging from that, also a quite disparate set of themes, and I'll report more on that as we get those results in. But that's beginning to be wrapped up. It's going to the consultants, and they will be coming forward with the first draft of that plan. So we're very, very excited to see that happening, and we hope to be able to coordinate those efforts in large part with the county and with the town of Ithaca. Finally, I just wanted to mention that the City Redistricting Committee has just about finished its meetings. We are behind the county in that vein, but they will be meeting on Thursday, and they expect that this Thursday's meeting to be making a recommendation for at least one scenario, possibly two. There are a few things still actively on the table, and then it will go to the mayor and council for review. So that's where we are. I'm not going to take up any more of your time. I apologize for not having gotten here earlier in the year, but frankly, your meeting schedule often conflicts with ours or vice versa. So here I am. And anyone that should feel free to contact us in the city anytime, especially if there are any projects or any efforts that you feel would be helpful and instructive for the city to participate in. Thank you.
Well, Ellen, don't go away.
Okay.
Thank you very much. It's great to have you here. Are there any questions? Julie.
On the last point, you were mentioning the redistricting committee. Does Common Council have a timetable by when they plan to act?
We actually, we had this question just a couple of days ago. I met with the chair of that committee, and I also ran into Hank DeLay. Wonderful discussion at Wegmans, where else? And it's actually a new process for some of us. So we don't know when that will come to us. We hope very soon, because what I'm seeing now is I would anticipate that it's not going to be straightforward necessarily. I mean, I think there's some special issues in the city because of the ward system and because of strong neighborhood identities, and also the concern about whether we will be able to coordinate with the county's wards, you know, whether it's a 4 or 5 ward system. But I thought it would go to the mayor first and then to us, I hope, as soon as possible.
Peter?
One thing that I read in the paper that I found intriguing was the climate survey, or I can't remember what you called it, but the survey of citizens about mm-hmm. how they responded mm-hmm. to the city government. I don't quite know how to put this, but do you feel that your expectations of what you saw were what you saw, or did you find out something dramatically different than what
you
thought?
Actually, that's been a very valuable effort. I would have mentioned that earlier, but I wanted to be careful to stick to my 3 limits and not take up too much time. That's another active area, project area, for this new GPA committee to be looking at. We had a lot of help from the people at Cornell to do this survey, also some money, by the way. And in terms of some things, there were not surprises. I mean, obviously, it was no surprise to hear that people were very unhappy with the condition of city roads, potholes, sidewalks, that sort of thing, the nuts and bolts of government. In general, people felt safer than we might have expected. That came up very high in terms of the positive ranking. So that was all very good news in terms of confidence in fire and safety. But there were a few other areas that we're going to be looking more actively at to see if we can sort of increase citizen satisfaction. It also depended, the survey results, the sample was actually quite good, and it was statistically significant, although somewhat small. There are a few areas where, as you would expect in the city, certain areas or certain demographic segments might feel positively about something that another demographic might feel, no, it was less than satisfactory. But we are looking at those results quite carefully, and it's helping guide our priorities for this year.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Ellen, I'm going to give you pass down a copy of a fax we just got a few minutes ago from Senator Tom O'Mara, passing on the a statement from Governor Cuomo about the New York Works projects. And just yesterday, I guess they have announced a series of flood control grants for flood control systems in the southern tier, including $13,070,000 for a flood control project in Ithaca. I'm going to guess that's dredging.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've seen this.
No, I haven't yet. So
okay.
That would be interesting.
But I think that's really wonderful news.
Great.
So, Thank you very much for coming. Appreciate seeing you. All right. Thank you. Legislative privilege of the floor. I'm going to start with Jim Dennis.
I'm sorry. I have a youth award.
You do? I thought Jim does.
Oh,
go ahead.
No, I go ahead.
Do you have somebody here?
No, I was going to give a different kind of award tonight.
Oh. Well, I'll call on you second. Jim.
Thank you. This evening was the Distinguished Youth Award for me, and the person that I've selected is Desiree Cochran, and her name will begin appearing on the radio tomorrow. She will be here May 1st. She could not make it this evening because her mom and dad were unable to be here, and it made sense to me that those are important people in her life, and they should be here. So Desiree Cochran from Trumansburg is this month's Distinguished Youth, and she will appear on May 1st.
Thank you, Jim. Pam.
I'm not sure how we got a confusion here, but tonight we usually be recognizing one of our county's outstanding youth at this time. However, in the last few weeks, our county has faced the sorrow of losing at least three young men and the loss of so much promise. So I have taken this opportunity to reflect on and to recognize and to embrace all of our youth, to let them know how very important they are to us personally, and to remind ourselves and them they hold the future of our county in their hands. Tonight, we honor the young people who take their community responsibilities seriously and offer their time and effort from an early age. Tonight, we also honor our young people who, through no fault of their own, every day face daunting challenges. Parents with substance abuse problems, bullying by classmates, learning challenges, physical challenges, discrimination. All of these challenges place a very heavy weight on young shoulders. For these youth, getting through the day is an exercise in considerable strength and determination. All of our youth should know we are rooting for them. We want them to understand that we are in their corner, because their success is very important to us and to the county. We salute you and embrace you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pam. Anyone else? Jim?
Is this privilege of the floor?
Yes.
Yes, let me begin. All of you had on your desk a Pop-Tart, the idea came to me from the county attorney, who last month said that he had researched on the internet, and in a time of disaster in a community, the first thing people buy are Pop-Tarts, and all Pop-Tarts are created equal, and I think Homer Simpson said that, or Bob Dylan at some point. But at any rate, you have frosted Pop-Tarts, and I just thought that it might add something to the meeting. And one of my colleagues has already started eating one, so and the uncooked version. So enjoy yourself, and if you don't like them, pass it on to a close friend.
Thank you, Jim.
I think there's a toaster in the closet, in the kitchenette, too. Peter.
One of Jim's colleagues has already finished both Pop-Tarts and wants to thank him from the bottom of my heart. I found it quite tasty, without a toaster.
Thank you very much, Jim, so we won't have a problem with our blood sugar tonight. Pat. just like to say thank you to Pam for her thoughts. I think it is a little bit of a departure from our current practice, but I think it was very heartfelt and expressed the feeling that we all have about the youth in our community. So thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam. And Pam. And Julie?
I share Pat's compliment to Pam. It was moving just listening to it. Thank you. As to strawberry Pop-Tarts, they last forever. I hope we'll have an emergency way in the future that still be okay.
And sustainability.
I don't know if you've ever heard Paula Poundstone on the subject of Pop-Tarts, but she's worth listening to. It's her favorite food, I think. And what I really expected to say was to remind people that Earth Day is April 22nd this year, as usual, and there will be exhibits of various sorts at the farmers market on that Saturday, but they will be from noon to 5. I hope you all can go.
Thank you, Julie. Brian?
Thanks. And I guess I want to start by thanking you for the email that we had in terms of trying to revise some procedural guidelines that we have. I think that's going to bode well for all of us. Pam, I too was moved by what you said, and it's kind of reminded me of, at least in recent times, some young folks that we've lost for one reason or another. And I need to say that this time of year really scares me.
It's true.
You've got the senioritis, the prom season's coming, graduation season's coming, and inevitably, hopefully it won't, but at times, some very tragic things happen needlessly. I hope that the new law regarding basically don't ask, don't tell, with regards to drugs and alcohol, I hope that does help. But I think it's incumbent upon all of us as adults, if you know anybody of that age, start now, just by saying, hey, listen, we know that this is stuff that's happened in the past. Just be smart and tell your friends to be smart, because it really does scare me this time of year. And hopefully we can be sitting here in July and August and know that maybe we played a small part in not having any of those tragedies happen.
So. Brian, just could you be more clear about the Good Samaritan or whatever it's called?
I could, but I can't.
Okay. Well, just that if there's a party, if somebody, yeah, if you see somebody who's...
My understanding is that anyone, drugs for the most part are illegal no matter what age. But even legal minors for drinking below 21, if they're in need of medical attention, that they get that medical attention, no questions asked, in terms of law enforcement, that safety is paramount to everyone, and that's what the law addresses. So. If I had known I was going to be speaking about that, I could have been a little more versed than I am, but that's kind of the crux of it.
Just that a young person should never hesitate to call 911 if a friend is unconscious or looks to be in trouble. They shouldn't worry about their own, getting in trouble.
Right. Exactly.
Thank you very much. That's really important. Did I see Frank? Did you have your hand up, Frank?
Nope.
Pam.
Yes, I just wanted to give a little update. We've had some people both in the city and the town of Ithaca who have become concerned and are being physically, their health is being affected by wood smoke. And people are burning legally. There's nothing illegal about many of these stoves. But it is becoming a public health issue. And so there are some of us who have begun to have discussions about this. And Kathy and Frank and I got together last week And we all agreed that getting the city representatives and the town of Ithaca representatives and some of us together to sort of talk about it to see if there's anything that we can do and what they are doing, just to share ideas and concerns. I just wanted to let people know that we are trying to get something up and started on this as quickly as we can.
Thank you very much, Pam, Kathy, and Frank, for working on that. Anyone else? All right. I'd like to welcome our planning staff, Leslie and Katie. Katie Borghella and Leslie Schill. It's in honor of Earth Day, our annual update on our sustainability efforts in Tompkins County. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having us here today to talk to you about energy and sustainability that has been going on. There's so much going on, we had to just pick a few to highlight. So you'll see that there's a big handout in front of you for one of the topics I'll be talking to you about. So, well, I guess we won't have the title. That's all right. We'll be talking to you about the 2020 Energy Strategy, the Downtown Sustainability Center, and the brand new big kid on the block, the Cleaner, Greener Southern Tier. So the first one is, many of you probably recall in September of 2010, the legislature endorsed this 2020 Energy Strategy, which laid out how the community would reach its emissions goals of a 20% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2020, which was an interim step to reaching the 80% reduction goal by 2050. In that was identified 10 new local measures that the community should take to position itself so that it can actually be working toward achieving that kind of daunting 80% reduction goal. You see them there. Property assessed clean energy, working on waste diversion, business partnership, bringing energy into the successful solid waste program with business partners, transportation demand management, alternative fuel vehicles, and our own government energy policies and facilities, rural biomass, not city biomass, Pam, and district heating and energy roadmap. I'll be just highlighting a few of those for you tonight, but again, it is all laid out in the handout that I gave you, and we will be posting that to our website in the near future for everyone to see. So this is about county energy in the facilities. So these are our own facilities. I highlighted in bold and italic the ones that are going to be really the focus of 2012. Some exciting things going on that you probably know about already, but temperature controls being put into the Public Works garage area, which makes a lot of sense. The Solar Liberty contract to put 7 new solar arrays on county buildings. LEED Silver certified, the health department is on track to achieve that. And then at the bottom are all the great things that have already been done. So, really, congratulations to all of you for being such leaders in this in the community. District energy feasibility studies for this one. I think it's something that many of you will start hearing about more because there are a lot of studies underway right now, and it's a very exciting thing. It's caught fire in the community in many ways. I thought I should define what is district energy because not everybody knows. It's something that they have at Cornell already. It's underground piping that carries hot water or steam for heating of buildings. You can have one power plant and take care of the energy needs of multiple buildings. So there are a lot of efficiencies. It's good for climate change. It's good for pocketbooks. There are a lot of reasons to do it. But it's expensive to start up. And so we're hoping that by the end of 2012, we'll have some great information on 4 areas in our community. Lansing Town Center, they've already finished an initial feasibility study looking around the town buildings there. South Hill around the Emerson site was part of an EPA Brownfield assessment grant that our department put in and we should be finding out about in the next few months. the Commons, there's a group of business people looking into funding a study down there while they're already digging up the Commons for the city. And West Hill, the hospital has been a leader in looking at this issue as well. The other one to bring attention to is the energy roadmap. This we actually had a proposal from a consultant for $250,000 to do this project, and we are trying to do it with $4,000 and four graduate students. So far we've been really heartened by the quality of results we've had from these graduate students. They've been working closely with county staff for the last year, and we do have a public presentation coming up shortly, April 30th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the public library. And just wanted to share that this we're viewing this as kind of the first step of this energy roadmap that you'll probably be hearing more about, where we're trying to quantify the energy production potential of our renewable resources, look at demand, look at supply, and have a community conversation about the most effective and efficient means of achieving our long-term energy goals. Now I'm going to turn it over to Leslie for the next two items.
Thanks again, everyone. I'm Leslie Schill, again, with the County Planning Department, and I'm going to talk a bit about the Downtown Sustainability Center and the new Cleaner, Greener Southern Tier. I believe I have way too many slides, so I will try to go through this fairly quickly, but cut me off. So the Downtown Sustainability Center is a very exciting new endeavor that's been sort of brewing for the past year. A sustainability center steering committee formed about a year ago with representatives from both of the colleges, the county, the Downtown Ithaca Alliance, Sustainable Tompkins, a couple other folks. And what we've done here is really something amazing. We've started already a program of a center that doesn't quite exist yet, but we're pretty excited about the fact that it's going to soon. But we've engaged more than 20 students from both of the colleges in the past two semesters. From undergrads to graduate students, both schools, working together sometimes, working at different sites, helping farmers develop business plans, working with the Youth Bureau, working out in energy efficiency firms, so across the county with businesses, nonprofits, and governmental sectors to really look to move forward issues of sustainability, so it could be across any kind of work. And we've really had some positive feedback on that, and that looks to continue to go. It seems there is a lot of interest from the student population to plug into the community and really get involved in sustainability efforts in the county. And that's one of the major goals of the Sustainability Center, is to really connect the student population, the residential population, with all of the wonderful initiatives that are happening around this county, but they're really kind of hard to keep a tab on. So to create a hub. So that is what we are envisioning the Sustainability Center will be. We've also developed some exhibit designs for the first two exhibits that will be in the new Sustainability Center, Waste Reduction and Energy Efficiency, and are intending to get some production going on those this summer through our new part-time coordinator, who was hired by Downtown Ithaca Alliance just a week and a half ago. And that position is supported by a generous Park Foundation grant. And with that, we plan to launch into an end-of-year event for the sustainability interns, start two new exhibits this summer on transportation and local foods that will then go into the grand opening of the Sustainability Center in fall 2012 in the downtown location that you all are familiar with. And so that is a very exciting and fast-moving program project. Happy to talk to everybody about it, but the new part-time coordinator is really taking on a strong role already, and so that's very exciting. And for another small project, the Cleaner, Greener Southern Tier, you can't see the title, but that's up there. You may have heard that we were awarded a $1 million planning grant that we applied for last year. We're working in tandem with the entire Southern Tier region here in yellow. It's quite a large region. It reflects the Regional Economic Development Council boundaries. You'll notice those. And so this eight-county area is going to develop in 8 months' time, that's how long we have through NYSERDA, who has funded this project, a very comprehensive regional sustainability plan. We are the project leads on that, and we are very busy working diligently to make that happen. So the goal of the plan is to engage and support the regions across the state. There are 10 of these regions, so that we can have consistency for regional planning, specific to sustainability and reducing energy and greenhouse gas emissions. That is the underpinning from NYSERDA. And the reason that the region is so excited about it is phase two, basically. We're excited because we're planners and we're very excited to have a regional sustainability plan. It's going to be an excellent document that helps guide the region and create fundable projects and a regional vision. But a lot of people are excited because there's potential for $90 million in competitive funding for phase two, that you have to go through phase one, the plan, and have an approved NYSERDA plan to apply for these dollars. And we're hoping to be incredibly competitive. We are the first region to be under contract with NYSERDA for this, so we're out in front on this, and we're very excited. We'll be coming to you for more input all along the way. Project partners are two regional Southern Tier East and Southern Tier Central regional planning and development boards. Us, again, and ICF Incorporated is an international energy firm that we have brought on to help us with the heavy-duty lifting of the greenhouse gas emissions and all the energy analysis and to really help us develop strong projects to put forth in phase two. So what will the plan include? All of these. Some of these are required by NYSERDA. Some of these we thought were just an excellent opportunity to make sure that we get some really tangible items for the entire region to take away. In the, again, eight-month period, generally you don't do a city plan in 8 months, so eight counties, sure. We're going to, in 8 months, reach out and have four different sets of outreach to the public. We're going to go out to the public very shortly here, but we're going to have at least 12 large public meetings. We're going to have stakeholder groups in excess of probably 25 groups will be reached out to for focus groups in the coming months. We're developing a regional consortium of community leaders across the Southern Tier who will help guide the process, be brought in at critical junctures to weigh in on the draft documents, and the, particularly at the implementation strategy plan for a long and short-term strategy, and to help us when we get down to the last two items, the project portfolio, so really identifying where the priority projects are and so that we can have, as a takeaway, fleshed-out projects that show what the funding will be for those, who the project partners could be, what the potential siting is if we're talking about a bricks-and-mortar project, and all of the other thoughts that need to go into something to make it very fundable and ready to go. Guides for Action was also a nice one that we want, how-to guides that we can present across the Southern Tier to individuals, to businesses, to institutions, as well as regional entities for how to attack any of the topic areas of sustainability to really make strides and to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So here are the eight topic areas that will be included in this plan. It is very comprehensive. And quite challenging, actually, but we're really excited about it. So we'll be looking at energy and greenhouse gas emissions. We are the only county within the eight-county area that has actually completed a greenhouse gas emissions inventory. We've done three now. So we do have some experience coming into that, and that's helpful to have that, and our consultant is very experienced. We'll be looking at transportation, land use and livable communities including issues of affordable housing, local food issues, connectivity, walkability, waste and water management, the infrastructure, or in areas of this rural region where there isn't infrastructure, looking at what that looks like. Economic development, it's been made very clear that this plan must be aligned and plugging in closely with the Regional Economic Development Council. We are engaging several members of the council to participate on our consortium, and we'll be reaching out to them to make sure that they're well aware of the direction this is going into so they can have feedback into the process. And then climate adaptation, specific to this region, flooding we know is going to be a major issue that we're going to be looking at, as well as invasive species. Governance last, so looking at where we are with planning across the region, best practices, model programs, model ordinances, things of this nature. We are taking a best practices and model project approach to this entire plan, so we're looking across the region at what's already in existence, where can we turn this into more of an information sharing opportunity across this eight-county region, and where are there replicable projects that would be, you know, that would work in the context of upstate New York. So why does Tompkins County want to play a role in this? We're interested. Right now. We had some free time. We see great worth in having a regional plan. Nothing like this exists, certainly not for an area of this size. And the regional boards, the planning boards, are very excited to plug into something like this. So we feel there's a lot of enthusiasm, and we can't wait to go out to the public and hear back from, you know, everybody in these 200-plus municipalities how they're feeling about this. again, we think we'll come away with some best practices and model programs that will be very useful locally. And the project portfolio, top projects that come out of this will be ready to go for funding, and we know that that is a funding stream that's going to open up in the beginning of 2013. A competitive round will be announced, so that's very exciting to know that that's right around the corner. And then again, the guides for action. Anticipated challenges, this is nothing new, except for that there are 8 counties, 200 municipalities, 659,000 people. No problem. Here are some of the stats on the region that we're dealing with here. And so we're reaching out. I'll just fly through these. Some pictures. I've already been out to the region a little bit to talk about some of the things we'd like to capitalize on. Downtowns, villages, hamlets, agriculture, the two Finger Lakes and four major waterways, rural landscapes, manufacturing as a hub, green tech, you know, looking at how we can redefine our region and make sure that it's a place that has a strong future. Regional issues that certainly have to be considered. The flooding and the aftermath, 4 of the 8 counties involved are really, really under the gun right now to focus on flood recovery. And so it's hard for them to get focused, but they can see where a lot of these, they're coming out. I think some best practices may come out of that as one highlight. Natural gas drilling is certainly something that's going to be discussed throughout this region. And jobs, all kinds of jobs, green tech jobs, livable wage jobs, it's definitely going to come up. But there are a lot of opportunities between our institutions of higher education as well as a growing health and medical sector, potential for passenger rail, green technologies. We definitely want to emphasize all of those, capture them within this plan, and build off of those great things that are already happening region-wide. So what's coming up? All of you all were invited. I expect the RSVP tomorrow, perhaps, to a focus group that's happening next week, next Tuesday, at the Town of Ithaca Town Hall for all elected officials in our county. We're holding a focus group for you and everyone else who's elected in town. And then that evening, we'll be having a public meeting here. And next week, we're having focus groups as well as public meetings across the entire region. So it's quite a public kickoff. And I shall put up our contact information. Anybody who would like to know any more about either of the two initiatives I discussed this afternoon, please feel free to contact me. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Katie and Leslie. Are there any questions? Well, I would like to, I'd like to, you know, this is obviously a project through the Regional Council. The Regional Council meets tomorrow. This is going to be in my report. Tomorrow at Cornell, and I guess I didn't, I sent you a note about that, Ed. Yeah, I don't know if there's a chance for one of you to come, at least, you know, during the public privilege to give a brief update on that, if that's possible, just so the council itself knows what's going on. I think it'd be great if they knew and had a handout with the public meetings in particular. That'd be great. Frank.
Thanks, Martha. Leslie or Katie, could you, some of us next Tuesday are going to be engaged in interviews for the new Commissioner of Mental Health. Bring him or her? Will there be, could you put that slide back up that has the two times on it for next week? I think what, 3:30
to 5:30? 3:30 to 5:30 or 5 o'clock.
Will the topics be the same in both of those meetings?
Generally speaking, the plan kickoff will have a lot of the introduction piece for both of those, but at the focus group, which depending on how many elected officials show up, it might be a larger than normal focus group, I think we're really going to get into issues of governance and long-term planning and visioning for communities and things like that, particular to sustainability. Okay. Whereas the general public, I think it's going to talk about what best practices and projects people are excited about and what's most important to them on the sort of the 8 fronts of sustainability.
Okay. As I said, some of us are going to be tied up at particularly that time. Mm-hmm. I assume we can get a hold of you or Katie
Absolutely.
To talk. Okay. And could you go back to another slide mm-hmm. prior to all the ones with all the pictures?
You didn't like the pictures?
Keep going. That one. Okay, could you go to the next one? No, I'm sorry. Back one more. Thanks. Thank you. You went too fast for me, Leslie.
And Katie, is the elected official group, is that, like, are you sending that out to TCOG, to municipal officials?
I'm hoping to talk to TCOG for the next round when we get to the implementation strategy. Right now, this is for individuals to bring in as stakeholders to focus groups.
Okay.
So we're looking at the next round of public outreach to go to some of these entities, cross-jurisdictional, cross-sectoral entities, and really talk to them about what kind of implementation.
Okay. Thank you. Carol.
Yeah, so I think this is for Katie. I may have missed it, but I'm just trying to understand a little bit more about what an energy roadmap looks, what it is, what it looks like. It's great that we have, that we're saving money and producing one.
Katie, come on up to the mic again.
Sure. What is it, if I'm trying to tell somebody what it is we're doing?
It's a work in progress. I guess that's the bottom line. We're trying to get a handle on actually the production potential of resources like solar, wind, biomass, to see what our county itself could produce, and then look at what the demand is and perhaps what we could do with reducing demand through different programs, and then kind of balance the equation and bring it out to the community and say, you know, if we could get X amount of power from wind, for instance, from small wind turbines, and we could get X amount from wind farms, and we could get Y amount from solar panels in neighborhoods. Where do you want to go? How should we be structuring our policies? Where should we putting our efforts? What funding should we go after? So instead of chasing funds that become available, we actually have a vision in our mind of the kind of energy future we want, and then we would build the steps and actions and regulations and all that to achieve that.
Okay. I appreciate that. If they haven't already found it, there was an article about a year ago maybe in Scientific American by these two professors somewhere in California who mapped out how you could make an energy map for the country that would take us away from fossil fuels and towards renewables. And there may be ideas in there.
Great,
that,
thank you.
Scientific American, I have it somewhere, because you have to have a subscription to actually see it, but it's floating out there.
Great, thanks.
Any other questions? Thank you all very much. This is very exciting. It's terrific.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. So for my report, that's pretty much the only topic I think I wanted to mention, is that the Southern Tier Regional Council is meeting tomorrow at Cornell. The public part of the meeting is from 12 to 2 at the Biotech Center. And there's public comment around 1:30 in that time, if anybody's available to make it. And that's my whole report. County Administrator Joe.
Thanks, Martha. Carol was quoting Scientific American. I'd like to quote from Mad Magazine from a couple of years ago. And I have a couple of items on my report tonight. First, I wanted to let you know that Pat Buchel was named to the board of the National Association of Probation Executives recently, over the last week. Very distinguished group, professional association. She's going to represent the Mid-Atlantic states, the whole Mid-Atlantic region of the U.S. on that board. She'll be one of 12 members on that board, so we wanted to extend congratulations to her for that appointment. With respect to the searches going on, the department head level searches, yesterday, the search committee for the highway director came together, did final interviews, made a recommendation of a preferred candidate. We are in the process of extending an offer right now to that individual that would be subject to your confirmation. So that process is nearing closure. So that's obviously good news there, and we feel very good about the individual to whom we've made the offer. Mental health, Frank mentioned earlier that the search committee for the mental health position is meeting on April 24th. We'll conduct the last interviews at that meeting. Legislators are welcome to attend, to observe, if you'd like. We'll make the schedule available to you. And hopefully at the end of that day, there'll also be a recommendation on a candidate for that position. The budget retreat, we talked about that last time. You should have gotten an email today. We think we found the date that works the best for most of you. Not all could attend, but it was the date that worked best for most. It's April 30th. The meeting would begin at 5:30, hope to be done by 8:30. It's become our custom to meet at the TCAT conference room. We've reserved that room. On scheduling, Carol at the last meeting made a suggestion that as we're scheduling committee meetings and other meetings at the beginning of every year, we ought to schedule this one too. It's a good suggestion. Kathy and I have already talked about making sure that we remember early next year to do that so we can do it well in advance of the meeting, and hopefully we can get complete attendance by scheduling farther ahead. Just to telegraph things in terms of kind of where the budget seems to be going, and we still have a lot of work to do before we can present you with really any hard numbers, as we hope to do in the retreat. But I will say that I don't want to say that we've gotten our fiscal house in order, because that suggests that it was in disorder. It hasn't been. But I will tell you that because we have maintained good order in our house, some of the stories that you're beginning to see from other counties about some pretty devastating situations they're facing because they've depleted reserves, they've really done things that have been penny-wise and pound-foolish, catching up to them. It's never easy to balance a budget. We're going to have our challenges in 2013, but I don't foresee some of the very, very difficult things that we've had to face over the past few years. I think we'll be on stronger ground as we enter 2013 than we have over the past few years. So again, we'll talk a lot more about that at the retreat. Last thing I'd like to report on, there was an article recently that the state is going to be contributing the local share of FEMA-supported projects because of the floods last fall. I just wanted to indicate the significance of basically a couple of efforts. First of which is a very quick response on the part of the county, Lee Shurtleff, his staff, our highway people, town and other municipal officials, to get out there quickly after the flood and do damage assessment to make sure that we can get our claim in for FEMA assistance. And that initial claim is really important to make sure that we meet the thresholds that make us eligible for FEMA support. We did that, and I think we did it well. I'm going to give you a couple of numbers in terms of the support that's been provided to the community because of that effort. In all, about almost $1.9 million worth of federal and state support has come to this county, not to county government, but to governments within this county to support the work that has had to happen to repair damage caused by the flood. And more than that, as a part of the $1.9 million, more than $500,000 is to support mitigation efforts to make sure that we're doing the things as a part of the repair work that's going on right now to make sure that we minimize the risk of future situations like that happening. So all told, again, it's $1.88 million in federal and state aid that's come to governments within this county. And it's but for the state's recent action, $235,000 of that would have come from local taxpayers. States stepped in to fill that void. So I think we really need to express some appreciation to Lee and his crew and the highway folks and municipal people for doing a good job getting out there, assessing damage, getting claims in, and that has had a $1.9 million effect on repair and actually on this economy. So those are the items in my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Any questions? That budget night is a Monday night, right, Julie?
Is that the same time period that we just heard as the Energy Roadmap presentation?
Was that the 30th or was that the 24th? It was the 30th?
I wrote that one in my date book first.
6 to 8. That's true.
That's very unfortunate.
Well, good point.
too many things to do.
I thought you were looking for a date in May, early May.
Well, we did. We pulled the first 2 days in May that were available. Like, you meet on the 1st of May, so we pulled the 2nd and the 3rd, and participation dropped off pretty significantly on those days. We would have four that couldn't make those 2 days.
And the next Tuesday after our meeting, you didn't do?
Well, we didn't do, because we need to follow a timeline that allows us to get to you with a resolution to establish the levy goals and then go from there to targets to get the information to the department so that they can begin their budget. So we aim for the first week.
This is the first I heard about the April 30th thing. I mean, I don't know that we can do anything about it. Does anybody want to reconsider? I mean, if we send the dates out for that week, you said we sent out Wednesday and Thursday that week, and it didn't do well.
Thursday that week. That's right.
Okay.
It was my general impression that the Tuesdays we don't meet are often better for legislators than other days. So that would be my suggestion, and it's really unfortunate to have this conflict.
I'm sorry, Joe, did you say the Tuesday was one of the dates?
No,
because you meet on, the legislature meets Tuesday, May 1st.
That's right.
So that wasn't.
That's right. Okay. I would just make one comment on the relatively relaxed budget for us, and I heard this on the radio, and I actually had just thought about it before I heard it, and somebody was talking about the state budget. By passing in December, by passing the tax package that the state government did, where they increased taxes on people earning more than $1 million, it gave them room to move. I mean, that gave them the ability to close their budget gap without taking it out of counties. And I think it's pretty easy to forget that happened, but I think it really does make a difference when you tax people a little more fairly. So that's an editorial comment. I apologize. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
Thank you. I wanted to update you on a solid waste matter, which I reported on a few meetings ago. Just to sort of refresh your recollection, after an investigation, the Solid Waste Division determined that a company, Fair Rubbish Removal, was mixing recyclables and solid waste on trucks and disposing of the mixed loads in a landfill, which is a violation of the rules, both that you can't mix recyclables with solid waste and that you need to take recyclables to a recycling facility. The solid waste director sent a letter to the company saying that their license is revoked. The letter also tells them, as is required by the rules, that they have a right to appeal to a hearing panel, and if they wish to appeal to a hearing panel, the license would not be revoked until the hearing panel decides just what to do about the matter. I think when I last reported, I had said that the company had just submitted a request for an appeal. And so that's where we were when I last reported. I wanted to update you of what's happened since. Since I last reported, a hearing panel was assembled. The hearing panel consisted of County Legislature Dooley Kiefer, Joel Gannon, who was on the Solid Waste Advisory Committee, the county administrator, Joe Mariana, and me as in a non-voting advisory capacity. And that's all in accordance with the rules for the hearing panel. After reviewing the charges, the company contacted the county, and they let us know that they did not wish to contest the truth of the charges, that their investigation revealed that, in fact, in one of their routes, they were mixing recycling with solid waste. They said that once they discovered that, they stopped it immediately, and that they instituted systems and and a methodology to ensure that it would never happen again. They also asked that the hearing, if the hearing panel would be willing to give it some penalty but allow it to continue to operate, including a fine, but allow it to operate under conditions which would ensure that it would follow the rules and not mix recycling with solid waste. The hearing panel met to consider what to do about the situation, and it notified FAIR that it would allow it to continue with its license under certain terms and conditions. FAIR accepted all the terms and conditions, so let me tell you what they are. They agreed to pay a fine of $20,000 and did pay that fine. They agreed to pay $5,000 for the investigation, and they have paid that. They also agreed to supply the county solid waste division with any and all paperwork to confirm that they were, in fact, collecting in the manner they should be. And they agreed for a period of at least 1 year to take all the recyclables to the county recycling and solid waste center, which allows us to better monitor. It also provides some benefit to the county. And they agreed that any further violation would result in a revocation of their permit. I think overall it's a really good result because it does a lot of things. One, it ensures that the company is not going to be mixing recycling and solid waste. It also sends a clear message to other companies that the county takes this very seriously. And also as a result of this, the DEC discovered that landfill, which was in this case the Auburn landfill, was accepting these materials, which they shouldn't have been, and began an investigation of that. So I think there's going to be pretty wide positive effects on recycling in the area, both in the county and local landfills or that really need to be enforcing and not taking mixed loads. So, you know, I expect things to go smoothly in the future, and I think that it sends a good message that the county takes this seriously.
That's Thank you very much. Report. Thank you, Jonathan. I think that's a great outcome. Peter?
Jonathan, am I mistaken, but I thought that Bear had previously done the same thing and had been warned about it. Is that not correct?
It is correct that they were warned that we had heard that they did it. This is back several years ago, and a letter telling them not to do it. There wasn't at that time any investigation or anything confirming that it was done. There's just a warning that we heard it was being done and that they should not do it.
Any other questions for Jonathan? Thank you very much. David Squires, Finance Director.
Well, I'll start off with the good news. You might have noticed those headlines about the stock market's gone up because of retail sales nationwide have shown healthy increases. Our sales tax for the first quarter, it looks like they'll be up about 4%, which is, we haven't had a 4% quarterly increase in quite a while. And as I reported before, because we finished strong in 2011, the base which we start from doesn't require us to have a lot of growth in the sales tax income in order to meet our budget for the year. So that's the good news. The bad news is that New York State has implemented a new system, PeopleSoft, and as a result, we haven't gotten any money from New York State other than sales tax since the beginning of the month. I'm surprised we've gotten sales tax, really, because everything was supposed to flow through this system. So it's 17 days now with no money from New York State. Though, been 2 weeks, you know, every Monday we have to wire New York State the Medicaid payment, our local share. And so we're going out, but nothing's coming in. And I missed the last meeting. I was in Albany for the Government Finance Office's annual meeting. And the message we got from our National Association is everyone should expect complete chaos in the fourth quarter of 2012 because the federal government is running on continuing resolutions, and there's no consensus on anything. And there are these automatic rescissions that will go into effect in 2013 unless they can agree on some plan. So that means nothing's going to get decided till after the presidential election. But there are some disturbing trends about the there evidently is some consistency in Congress about eliminating tax-exempt financing dramatically because, I guess, of monetary reasons. There's not any strong lobby that is defending the right of tax, you know, local governments for tax-exempt borrowings. And in the White House, actually, is not opposed to curtailing tax-exempt financing. Based upon the Treasury's bias is that local government, you know, tax-exempt financing is competition with the federal debt. So it's something that really it could be a dramatic curtailment in that. And the other thing, if you're listening to the, you know, the issue about New York State is very vulnerable in tax reform because of the tax base here, heavily property tax state, and an elimination of property taxes as a deductible item would be devastating to the state. So, but they just the national organization says it's just unbelievably how chaotic it is in Washington right now. So while the state budget passes quickly, the federal government, I guess, is modeling its action on what the state has done in the past.
I'm just standing and thinking, did I wish you started with the bad news and then ended with the good news? I'm not sure. Peter, then Brian, then Frank.
The last thing you mentioned about this lack of ardor for continuing tax-exempt borrowing by municipalities, are you talking about tax-free bonds
yes.
issued, or are you
yes.
talking about property tax?
No, I'm talking about tax-free tax bonds.
Okay, but they would not affect the debt that we already
have,
right? Okay.
No,
thank you.
No. But it would cost us considerably more if we had to compete with treasuries because we, there's investors who are interested in not paying taxes.
Brian.
Just more of a comment. I must have been asleep or something. I thought we were already in complete chaos.
No, this is the quiet before the storm.
Never mind.
Okay. Frank and then Carol.
David, if I understood you correctly, and building on what Peter just asked, if there's no enthusiasm for maintaining or pursuing or continuing tax-exempt treatment on municipal borrowing, will those that already have that, will an investor who already enjoys that be grandfathered? And if that's so, I think you ought to bring a resolution back to this board asking us to give you authority to borrow up to $1,000,000,000 immediately so that we could enjoy the tax, we could sell the bonds quickly prior to the end of the year. Do you know the answer to the question?
No, I don't.
The serious one about the grandfather?
No, I'm sure it would be grandfathered. It would be too complicated to change the past. It's just that there's going to be roadblocks in there to make it more difficult at best to issue. One of the disturbing things is that they want municipal finance transactions to do the same as SEC transactions for corporations, which will greatly limit the ability of municipalities to finance, because in the SEC, you know, you have to have your books closed within 90 days of the year in order to get to the market and things like that.
David, is a gazillion after a trillion?
I don't know.
Carol and Kathy Luce.
Well, Frank, we can quote you on the taking out of extra financing for the county.
Just give them the authority.
My question is also on this topic. Are they talking about ending that exemption, the tax exemption, just for municipalities?
No.
Or would it include
tax
all
exempt.
Non-tax?
Sorry.
But basically, would it be for nonprofits as well as government?
The concept of public financing that's exempt from federal taxation is in play.
Okay.
So
does that
mean,
also reflect,
that
are they also talking
state,
about
federal,
nonprofit?
Non-governmental units that currently enjoy that preference.
So
because
would
the
we, what I'm getting at is, would there be any natural partnership with other entities in it? I mean, governments, local governments are just screwed no matter which way we turn. And we don't seem to be able to make an effective case. But if there are other entities, colleges, churches, if there are other entities who would be affected by this as well, who have stronger lobbies than we do, it, perhaps there could be something of a partnership in appealing to our representatives to make sure that that
well, New York is one of the,
is kept
one
in
of
place.
The, we have sympathetic congressional delegation because they understand the world of public finance, but not every state is like that.
It seems like this would be a firestorm.
Oh, yeah. It sure
it's
does.
Being covered up because of the chaos of the, what that's going on now. But all this stuff is, you hear the, all these regulations that are being proposed by the SEC and the new creation under Glass-Steagall, I mean, under Dodd-Frank.
Dodd-Frank.
A lot of this comes from the Dodd-Frank and regulations, which is giving people the opportunity to look at this whole issue, and they're very concerned. I mean, it's not being talked about, but it's a very real issue.
Maybe we should get Jonathan, I think that's where Carol was going, get Jonathan to begin a class action lawsuit that involves all of the not-for-profits, the churches, and the list that Carol
affordable,
was
talking about. Well, financing for affordable housing projects that isn't currently, you know, gets the tax exemption. Cornell, you know, the colleges, the IDAs. It would seem they would be a strong.
You're correct. There's certainly a lot of people who would oppose it, but in their environment that, you know, the perfect storm is coming up at the end of the year. When this automatic cuts to the Defense Department come into play, unless they do something.
Okay. If you could get some information for us, and is NYSAC paying any attention to this, or NACO, National Association of Counties? I mean, it seems like every municipal organization needs to pay attention. Kathy Luce, then Will.
Thank you. So some of what I was going to ask, so certain land grant institutions, not just in this state, but all over the country, would be affected by this. Is that right, if they're structured as tax exempt?
Well, tax reform could affect, yes, everybody who relies on tax exempt financing.
Well, as an interesting aside, yeah. I don't know how closely I can summarize this. I've been reading in the Chronicle of Higher Education about how in the ag schools, particularly land-grant ag schools across the country, there's been a furor about revelations of the financial support that many faculty get from multinational corporations like Monsanto, Merck, and others that isn't being reported the way it is in other areas like medical areas, and how so much of the funding has come to be from corporate sources that there's real concern that research is driven by the folks that are paying for the research. Anyway, I think it's interesting. Here's my solution. I think Tompkins County should just declare itself a corporation, and then we'll be a person, and we can borrow the money.
Will?
Yeah.
I'm going to follow that, Will.
I don't know where to begin. And you said something else that connected to a story that's been in the news related to the funding for food stamps and proposed changes in regulations that would be vast in terms of making it much harder to apply and cutting back significantly, and that it would be, and I don't know if you know this, but the leverage that could force these into play is the need for a continuing resolution around this defined need to make severe budget cuts, and failing that, we may find ourselves having greatly reduced support for food stamps. Have you heard anything about that, or do you know? I think. Okay, but it connects with the concept of it's going to be rough months ahead, and it's really good to know that the county is going to be in good shape otherwise, thanks to Joe.
Well, the county audit starts next week, and I wanted to, we've been busy working towards that end, I feel good about how we ended up 2011, and I hope that, you know, that helps us weather the storm that's going to occur at the end of 2012. Because it doesn't.
It looks bad.
Okay. Maybe we need a mental health break. I think. But the next thing to do is ask whether there are resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda. Mike.
I'd like to add a resolution commemorating Corporal Christopher David Bordoni.
Thank you. Seconded by Frank. The question is to add to the agenda. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. We'll take that up at the end of the meeting. Thank you very much, Mike. Anything else? All right, then I'll go to the consent agenda. If there's anything you need to have pulled, please just shout out. Resolution A, appropriation of 2012-2013 budgets for the Ithaca-Tompkins County Transportation Council. Resolution B, award of spring 2012.
Actually, could I have all three of them off? I just have a couple of questions, and they're all related to B, C, and D.
B, C, and D, all off. Okay. But E is okay?
Hmm?
E is okay with you? All right. Resolution E, award of spring 2012 tourism project grants. And Resolution F, Budget Adjustment Highway Division. And appointments are Environmental Management Council, Carolyn Peterson, Stephen Nicholson. Tompkins County Youth Board, Christina Marie Ripley. Emergency Communications Review and Oversight Committee, Peter Stein. And Traffic Safety Committee, Jim Dennis and Dave McKenna. I get a resolution. Kathy Lewis moves, seconded by Frank. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Oppose. That's unanimous. Thank you very much. I would like to go, therefore, to, we have staff waiting for the tourism proposals. So, Will, do you want to take those up? And then we'll, and then the youth services.
Right. So, I'm going to introduce Resolution B, which is the Word of Spring 2012 Tourism Marketing and Advertising Grants, and I so move.
Seconded by Pam.
And I would point out that Tom Knight has graciously paid the time to be with us to answer any questions that might arise.
So, Brian, your question.
As I read them, I'm assuming that all three are related. They're all run through PDAC and approved through them. It seems to me that in years past, and in some cases here it did, they have where what was requested and then what was recommended.
And then I think it's D. There is a list of new tourism initiative grants. But we don't know what was requested there. We just know what was granted. I'm particularly interested, obviously, in Groton Old Home Days. That they got half of what they requested. I see it was pretty much the same scenario for Newfield, Dryden, the festival at the lake, so on and so forth. And I understand that there's some within the city of Ithaca that were the same thing. What I would like to have, and I don't have a problem with this because I wasn't involved at all in any of it. If someone could go back through the records, say for the last few years, most of these are longstanding festivals or what have you, and if I could see what was requested and what was granted and, you know, say in year two, what was granted, then the next year it gets cut in half, then it gets cut in half again. And I guess what struck me was we have quite a hefty, you know, almost $70,000 in new grants. Some of that to the detriment of longstanding festivals. I hope I'm making a little bit of sense. I would just like to see what's happened to all of them. And I'm in no way not in favor of any of this. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay. Will, do you want
to... Or if somebody can answer that.
So I understand your confusion because I've been trying to get my head around this process as well. Part of what makes it confusing, Brian, is that there are a number of different grant programs, each of which have different criteria. And, in fact, that's why we're going to be going through a series of resolutions. But, Tom, I don't know if you heard the essence of that. Maybe you could
Before Tom starts, okay. Do you have the full packet with the pages, the landscape pages?
Yes. Yep.
Because okay. Isn't that what the request column means there?
But it's only this year.
Okay,
all
I know,
the
but...
All requests are listed in the yep. packet for yep. this year. Yep. I heard a question about previous years.
Right.
And I have right here a record of the last 5 years' grants. This doesn't have the request amount, and I can share this with you right now. And the committee did have an opportunity to see this as well as the STPB as well. So that's kind of answering one of your questions about the requests. Moving forward, if that's something that the legislature would like to see, we can certainly provide that data. I think really the nut of your question is about, well, what happened in the community celebrations grant category where, you know, we had, I believe, $43,000 of total requests. And the annual budget for that program for the year is $26,000. And typically they reserve between $5,000 and $10,000 for requests that happen in the fall for activities that happen between January and May of the next year. And so they elected to keep aside $5,000 this year, which means there was less than half of the funds available in that particular grant category. And the committee really struggled with, you know, how to address that. And I know that there's some interest in figuring out how to address that moving forward. I see it as a success that we had a 55% increase in applications over the last year, over all the categories and even higher in some. And I think that's due to our efforts to get out the word about this opportunity. And it allows us to be more selective, makes those grants more competitive over time, and demonstrates the value of the program to the community. But it is a challenge when you have to make hard decisions. And what tended to happen in the community celebrations grant category was they tended to cut most of the programs, the requests.
Okay. Carol, then Jim.
I was going to offer some of the history here, having been liaison for many years, although I'm not currently liaison to the tourism board. If you go back many years, grant applications would come haphazardly for the tourism dollars, and the tourism board over a period of years established these separate programs so that both organizations that are long established could receive funding at levels that was appropriate to their ability and capability of bringing in overnight visitors, which is what pays the tax, and while leaving room for newer organizations and then newer ideas in the tourism realm. The community celebrations grants were in a whole separate category. They, even for years after the tourism program was established and funding things programmatically, was funded directly by the legislature to support our communities. They were acknowledged to be events in our communities that didn't really have all that much to do with bringing in tourists and overnight visitors who were paying the tax but were for our residents. That over a period of years, the tourism board agreed to administer the program. Then it agreed, well, but we still funded it separately through our budget, separate allocation. They then kindly, as we experienced budget pressures, agreed to fund that, and at the time it was $10,000 and stayed $10,000 for a long time, to fund it through their dollars instead of ask us to, they sort of took it on, and then over the years have increased it significantly to whatever, there's now two rounds, I think a spring and a fall. Some of our, I think there's the sense on the tourism board that has developed over the years that the that having those community celebrations, even if they don't specifically, if people don't tend to come from out of town specifically to attend them, having a regular schedule of those kinds of things happening make this a more happening place and does add to the sense of this as a community to visit. But also some of those have graduated to become eligible for some of the other programs. So there are some of our communities that receive funding through these other programs, like the Ithaca Festival is one example in the city of Ithaca. They've continued to add the dollars, but I think that this year, my understanding is that there was, an even greater number of requests than had been anticipated for a number of dollars that had been set and whose budget we approved. So while they stretched to grant them, I think these got cut from what they had been a little bit more than some of the other programs because they were those dollars. And if we want to give them an instruction that we'd like them and when they come to us with their next budget to look into increasing that, I think that would be the route to go. And I think it does. It's always a question of sort of reminding us that they have these programs, that they go through these various grants committees and with different guidelines, and us reminding them that what we do, that we do look at with a distribution geographically around the county, and that that's really important to us. So that message, it's good. When I go and when I show up at those meetings, and I still do at a lot of them, and at their planning committee meetings, it is something that I try to convey, and I hope that those who follow me as liaisons will continue to convey. Jim?
Oh, me. the new tourism initiative, the only thing I would request is that what was asked for, and I can see what was granted, that would be helpful. And you did say out loud that you had 55 more applications. In other words, your number of applications for the money has increased greatly this year.
Yeah, that's right. And Jim, if you there was a something with the agenda packet. You do have all that information. You may have to go to a different place in your agenda packet.
All right. I'm talking about the
new
page
tourism
21
initiative.
And 2. Packet page 21 and...
I'm sorry?
Packet page 21 and 2 has the new tourism initiative grant list.
We'll make sure those line up a little better next time so that you can...
Oh, you're right. Silly me. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Pam.
I just wanted to point
good
out
job.
That, well, first place, it is not the tourism board's money. It is room tax money. It is actually county money. And so they are part of the appropriation of that money. I mean, that's an important distinction that I think we need to remember to make. But my point was that I wanted to raise was that the celebrations grant, the thing that is so great about the celebrations grant is that the tourism board has done a great job of going out into the communities and teaching people how to apply for these, what the criteria is, and I think that's one of the reasons that we've had this great increase in applications. And I mean, the rural areas used to get a lot fewer of these grants, and they now are taking advantage of them, and that's wonderful. I mean, it's great to see that happening. So we get a broader distribution of this money to the rural areas, and I think that's going in the right direction.
Julie, and then Brian, and then Will.
Tom, I think I heard you say that some money was held back for the second half of the year for celebrations.
Yes.
Well, when I looked at the backup information in the agenda packet, the dates of the celebrations are not included. And I wish they were, because then I could have deduced something myself probably. So I hope they will be included in the future the way you did with some of the other
Yeah, that's just an oversight on my part, and Will informed me that I did send that to him in case folks had questions in advance, they could get that information. But.
And I have apology, yep. Julie. I meant to forward that on to you and the rest of the committee.
Okay.
I'll make sure that happens.
I think I heard Carol suggest that if the legislature thinks the room tax allocation amount for community celebrations should be larger due to the increased interest from many communities and groups, that's up to us to address. Is that right? And that would be at PDEQ, that would be. So maybe that's something you all should talk about there.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have Brian, Will, and then Kathy.
Thanks. Again, I guess I kind of have a habit of doing this, starting up firestorm. I didn't mean to. I simply would like the data because inevitably I'm going to be asked about some of this stuff, and I want to be able to, somewhat intelligently give an explanation. So if you could provide that would be great. Thanks.
Yeah, I think that 55% more applications is kind of an important number. It just means that they're that many more people competing for the same dollars. Will?
And I was just going to say, I sit on the Community Celebrations Committee and sat in on one of the other committees and was struck at, have been struck by the incredible thoughtfulness of the process. These applications come in varying degrees, and Tom works hard to make sure that they present the committee with all the detail and have done a reasonable application. But then the committee takes very seriously the job of trying to sift through and make something that balances all the different parts of our community and is gives people a chance to lift up what they're doing in many different realms. So this is mostly done by volunteers. It's all done by volunteers, rather, and then it goes to our committee, and we bring them to you, and we will be voting in a minute.
Kathy Luce.
Thanks. I have just a little to add to that. It's been my experience that a lot of times when we devote a lot of discussion to this, there's some disparagement of it, but I want to praise Brian and others that want to know the details of this. This isn't change. It's very much lobbied for in the sense that these grants are publicized. That's why we have more applicants, because people are aware that the ways that we reach out to other communities to see if we can find ways to attract their money and their attention to our community is helpful to us. The other thing I want to say is that I think, and my memory may not serve me correctly, there's been in the past a movement to perhaps have these decisions made solely by committee and not reviewed by the legislature because it sometimes takes so long. I could be remembering some other grants, but I want to say how proud I am that we give the attention that we do to these, because this is community building stuff, and it's important, and it's great that we have such a thoughtful professional organization that volunteers its time to review these. And so I don't think it's a waste of time. I think it's good stuff, and I want to thank everybody for their questions as well as the effort that it takes to bring these to us.
If I could really briefly, one of the things that the first thing I did when I came on the job 9.5 months ago was sit down and think about our grant management systems. We now have a database in place that allows us to track all the information from when the applications come in the door through when it goes out. So we're managing our data very effectively. And I think that's, as the tourism program has grown from, you know, $200,000 back in 1989-90 up to $1.9 million in 2011, you know, the need for that has grown. And so, you know, part of that is, I think, why the position that I'm in was established. So that's something that we can provide more of and more of ongoing, and certainly, you know, share that vision for having the data to make the best decisions for our community.
Thank you very much, Tom. We appreciate your being here tonight. Will, anything else?
Nope.
Ready to vote on Resolution B? All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed? That's unanimous. Next, C.
Next is Resolution C. This is award of Spring 2012 Community Celebrations Grants, and I do move.
Seconded by Peter. Discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous.
And then we have award of Spring, Resolution D, award of Spring 2012 New Tourism Initiative Grants. And I move.
Second by Carol. Discussion. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous.
And then
That's it. We already did the
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Tom and Amy. I'm sorry. I guess we should have gone first to Health and Human Services Committee. So I will go there next. Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Health and Human Services Committee met on the 10th, and we had quite a full agenda. Let me just highlight a couple of these items, and we'll follow up if any of you have an interest in them. The county has been looking at a new prescription drug card in addition to the one that's presently been offered. It's not the county's health insurance card. It's the one offered through the pharmacies. You might remember Martha was very instrumental in bringing that one forward 10 years ago. Whatever. This is a new drug card to help individuals in the community out, and we'll probably have a recommendation at the next health committee meeting as to how to proceed, but it will help individuals access in a better way drugs, legal drugs. Stop, Pam. Pam already reported on the task force, the smoke task force that Pam, Kathy, and I are involved in with the city. And,
it's the smoking task force.
Smoking? No, it's not smoking. That's a different one. I wanted to thank Ellen McAllister for being the only city common council member supporting keeping smoking on the commons, but she left. There's a resolution, well, the resolution dealing with the state aid cuts, we'll come to that in a minute. I wanted to remind you that the REC partnership agreements are, if they haven't already gone out, I think I heard in Danby Monday night that they've received their letter and the agreement. We're proposing that the current five-year agreement be renewed. And they will be, if they haven't gone to the various municipalities. We've also asked the municipalities to look into services because some of the tweaking that might have to take place might involve the 25% that they kick in, and it might affect that. We had Joe already reported on the mental health commissioner's search. We're having that meeting on the 24th, which unfortunately is going to conflict with the sustainability meeting, but that's so be it. A reminder, you should have received from COFA an invitation to the annual luncheon, which is also, this is May 24th, not April 24th, but this will be an interesting COFA lunch for the Senior Citizen of the Year, and the speaker is Betty Perkins Carpenter. Remember the Falls grant? We received quite a substantial grant. This is the woman that wrote the book on the Falls grant. We had an update from the Department of Social Services regarding the city van. Remember the new Field Enfield transportation project that came through the JARC money a couple of years ago? We had a final report from the folks at DSS. Dina Bodner had put all the numbers together, and what started out as a cost per ride of over $40, they whittled it down. My recollection is it came in something around 19, and they were looking for 12 to 13. And with a little more tweaking and more money, they were hoping to continue that. But that grant has been finalized at this point. The service is transitioning to TCAT as far as getting people to bus stops. But the transportation of people to jobs is going to be a challenge. And we're going to share the numbers with the TCAT board because some of the data could be useful to them. We also had a work from home report. DSS is sponsoring an effort and looking into bringing forward a pilot that will involve 30 employees, and it'll be used as a template, if it's successful, for other county departments to have people work from home under very strict guidelines. Patricia was very precise in what people will be required to do, and that will, my recollection was, Joe, that's supposed to start up by September. They're going to have something.
If not earlier, yes.
Something in the wind or in the mill very, very shortly, but it'll be an interesting project to review. We did have, as you know, you've probably read it in the paper by now, the news release went out on the county home health agency. We've started the closure. We've received the permission from the state, and the patients that are being transitioned now are being placed through visiting nurse service, and the department is very active in making sure that those folks that need the health care services will be getting it. We'll have more on this probably as the next month goes by because it's not completely closed yet. We had permission to proceed with the closure. The one other item under COFA, this week, if you'll recall, we received that grant. We received the money to begin the implementation of the care transitions program. That program will kick off, if it hasn't today or yesterday, it was scheduled to kick off the 16th or the 17th. This week we'll be in that hot and heavy. And I would turn to Marcia Lynch a little bit. Maybe you know more about that than I do at this point, Marcia, but I know that they were getting that program ready to launch this week. And I know Lisa's been pretty involved in it. I think that's it. Our next meeting is the 8th. If any of you'd like to attend, we'd love to have you.
All right, and you have Resolution G.
Resolution G. I want to, you should have received in your packet one that also has Dooley's name in the title. Dooley called with a couple of clarifications, and I accepted those. I hope the committee's okay with it. One of them was a typographical or a grammatical one. If you look, I'll move this revised one. Appropriation from contingent fund to address state aid cuts to youth services programs.
Second by Kathy. So that's the one that's in your packet with Dooley's name on.
Right. Line 15 is the one that contains Dooley's suggested revision, which I accepted. It clarifies that this is a 32% reduction from 2011, which can only highlight. I think that was appropriate, Amy. If this, what this is in response to, if you read lines 17 through 19, the impact of not having this money for 2012 will potentially eliminate some programs that are provided by municipalities and not-for-profit organizations. They could at least be, at the very best, diminished, at the very worst, eliminated. And it's programs for summer youth and employment. And this is a blessing, if you want to call it that, by the state of New York. So we're trying to do some infill here.
Are there any questions? Kathy?
I just noted that later on in the resolution, there was a suggested change somewhere around line 31 and also on line 35. Are those from Dooley? I don't care where they're from. They look good.
Yeah, shall. Yeah. That was those were Dooley among Dooley's suggested
with and report on 35-36.
Yep, no problem.
Jim?
I will clearly support this, and I just want to alert everyone to the fact that this gets us through 2012. It does not put us anywhere in 2013 with this program, and unfortunately, Amy and the department will have to go through the process to continue this program.
That's right. To highlight what Frank mentioned, the 32% reduction from 2011, and Amy, that was in 2011's funding, was a 25% cut from 2010?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's over a 67% cut when you average it all out. There's three state funding streams that are all combined into those amounts, so it's a rough about 67% since 2010.
Thank you. Any other questions? All in favor of Resolution G, please raise your hand. No, put your hands down. It's a short form roll call. I'm sorry.
Mr. Stein?
What?
It's a roll call.
Yes.
Mr. Rodison?
Yes.
Anyone who wishes to be recorded as no? That's unanimous. Thank you. Okay, is that your report, Frank?
Yes, thanks, Mark.
All right. Thank you very much. Next committee is Facilities and Infrastructure.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
I had a question for Frank.
Oh, okay.
That drug
Could
card.
Could you use a mic, please?
Sure, sorry. That drug card that you described, is that a drug card for people who don't have health insurance, is that right? Or
yes.
And
the one that we have now, that the I don't mean they being the county, the one that's offered now is it's something RX.
Caremark is the provider.
Is the provider.
The vendor.
It's a little premature to give out too many details on this because the provider hasn't been selected yet, but the card will be offered through the pharmacies. And but yes, exactly. You hit it right on the head, Peter.
Okay. And does that cost us money to do that? Other
no.
than the
no, does not okay. cost.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jim.
Yeah. Is this going to be called Protox?
What?
No. Okay. I'll let that one go.
Yeah. This is for people with. Well, some people have insurance, but that doesn't include prescription coverage. So that's.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Trott, Chair.
Hi, thanks. We met on Friday, April 6th. Highway matters. This was just a report at the meeting, but the road use law, we had a contract at the point of the meeting or the ready to be signed with Labella? Has it actually been signed, Joe?
It has been signed, yes.
So it has been signed. So we have road use consultants. I will say that since then, I just got a call from people from the town of Ithaca asking questions. They are proceeding with a road use law. So if anybody, particularly those of you who represent town areas, want to comment and pass along, Bill Goodman was... collecting information about and decision points that that they might want to be aware of. There also will be a summit, a road use summit in Portland on May 8th. But Joe, are you speaking at that?
They haven't invited me to speak, no. We will participate, but I'm not speaking.
Okay, and that's a Saturday, so I wanted to alert you to that if anybody's interested in that. There is more information out there. The highway search is proceeding. We had candidates back in, and hopefully we will have a highway director. Solid waste. There's more on highway matters, but I'll save that. Solid waste. We had a very interesting report from Barb Ekstrom on composting and the steps that we've taken and are taking to proceed with county composting of compostable material. You should have received a brochure, a little one-pager in your boxes, I believe, about that. We are aiming to compost eventually about 15%. Our aim is to achieve a 15% compliance rate. We are not collecting compost. You do have to bring that to the county facility. And if you drive past the other portions where you drop off other types of waste, you'll see an area that's well marked to drop that off. When you do so, you can actually pick up, I don't have them with me, but a little packet of biodegradable plastic bags. So if you bring in compost, you can get a bag that biodegrades for your next round of material. Pine Tree Road is going to be coming back to us. We spent a long time at the meeting talking about that. There are issues of various kinds. As that comes back to us, there are issues of cost and alternatives that run at varying amounts over the budget that we'd originally established and the federal highway money that was awarded for that project that we will have to face. There's issues of the distribution of that cost. This is a partnership between Cornell, the town of Ithaca, and the county. There are issues related to the slope of the, I will remind you that project involves a realignment of the bridge on Pine Tree Road that's close to Route 366, and the construction of a bike, hike, walkway kind of path in some routing along or near the edge of that. So there are issues of the slope of that path and where that will go and how much it would cost to achieve various slopes. And then there are issues about what our process should be, what process should we be engaged in as we go through the decisions about these other matters. That discussion took a long enough amount of time, and we had enough other matters related to shared services we wanted to spend more time on, that the committee decided that we needed to schedule a special meeting for this month. We have picked a date. We will be having a meeting, an extra meeting, on April 24th at 5:30. That will be like 5:30 to 7:30. Our next meeting will be May 4th. Between now and tomorrow morning, Joe and I are going to figure out exactly what matters we're going to be taking up at the April 24th meeting versus the May 4th meeting, and how well that will work. One of the things we'd like to do is a field trip to the Pine Tree Road area to sort of see what it is we've been grappling with. And so we're struggling with how we can do that and make that all work with staff schedules. So if there are no questions, is there questions or things to add?
Yes, Frank. Frank.
Carol, I'm sorry. The Pine Tree Road situation, can you say again what the status of the bridge? Is the bridge still scheduled to be removed and raised with a new one?
The project that the county has been developing, it will involve widening of that bridge. It will still be a pedestrian and bike path bridge, and there are utilities that stretch across that bridge. We don't own that bridge. Cornell owns it. But as part of it, there's a safety issue with the narrowness of that bridge.
You mean the distance between the abutments?
Between the abutments. As you come around a curve and through there, and you've got pedestrians and bicyclists, yeah, and strollers going along there. So there are safety issues involved with it. We're in the pipeline to get federal money, assuming that we have our design completed on the time frame to the other pieces of the budget in place in the time frame to take advantage of this federal money before it goes away. There'll be federal money to help us do that. But because, you know, it's been a while, the budget is...
But your question was about the bridge.
Yeah.
Okay.
The status and the plan still involves raising...
Raising the height and widening.
Yes, and widening it.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay, you have Resolution H.
I have Resolution H, and I'm going to move the one that is in your packets, the revision with the proposed amendments that were offered by Legislator Kiefer that are, I think, minor. That is authorizing an expansion of the duration and coverage of a mural to be placed on the old library, and I so move.
Seconded by Dooley. And there is a picture in your packet.
Yeah. Is there a picture? My page is the picture on.
Mike?
This is the first mural that we've had under the policy that we approved a while back. I'm kind of concerned that now all of a sudden we're changing the ground rules for the first of these murals. I am very reluctant to support something that's going to expand the surface until the public has had a chance to see what we've got with the initial area on the curved portion of the exterior. Whether it needs more time, we talked about that last time at our meeting. And no one could see why, if they wanted an additional 4 months or whatever it was, they couldn't be granted that. But I have a real concern about expanding the mural to include a lot more of the facade.
Jim?
Not to be an anti person, because there's nobody who loves walking through an art museum more than me and appreciating good art. But what this does for me is hasten the thought that we need to get rid of this building as quickly as we can. I have seen the work done on the curved portion. While it's colorful, I'm not certain that Tompkins County should be offering up palettes for people at this particular point. I'm going to support this. But I think what really in the bigger in greater scheme of things, is that we need to move this building along and do something that will return this land to the tax rolls.
Julie?
Well, I actually share Mike's concern about expanding the scope of how much of the building gets covered before we get any public feedback. That was not part of our original plan, however, to allow for public feedback. I think we should think about that for future ones. And I'm supporting this for the reason that Jim mentioned, in a way. I think the building is not going to be there that much longer, so I think it matters less how we treat this particular cityscape.
Frank.
As I read this, I think you're concentrating principally on the old library, but this also includes Building C, if I read this correctly.
No, mural is just on the library.
Yeah.
Well,
our guidelines included two sites.
Does the expansion, will the expansion include?
No.
No.
Okay, thank you.
I think it's fine. Peter?
Yeah, I'd like to offer a comment from the public. That's me. I rather like it. I think it's colorful. I too like walking through museums and looking at great art. And I've seen a lot of great art that I've looked at that I found less attractive than what's on that building. I think it's bright, it's colorful, and has enhanced the visual effect of the building. It's better with it than without it. I don't disagree with Jim that somehow we can't keep that building there forever and probably ought to try to get rid of it. But anyway, this member of the public thinks that was a positive change.
Carol, you...
Yeah. Well, I wanted to just make sure it was clear, first of all, that the original August 2010 county resolution included more than one location, that the one coming to us tonight, Frank, is just for this one location, that it does not change the clauses of the 2010. And then I also wanted to just make sure there was no misimpression that there had been. That resolution delegated the selection of the artist for these county buildings to the City Public Art Commission, which engages in a process. So I just didn't want there to be any misunderstanding that there had been no public process about the selection. And I think that at the time the rationale was that it should not be up to us sitting here to pick a design, that should be done by people who knew what they were doing in design and how it translates to public buildings. And I hope we pass this, because it's you never get to a point where every person who looks at art agrees that art is good. So I just hope that we can trust the process for a few years and see how it goes.
Okay, Kathy Luz, Will, Frank, Jim, Mike, Brian? Jim, did you have your hand up?
I do.
Okay. Well, I better write these down. Go ahead. Now, did I say Kathy first?
It's me.
Okay. Go.
The reason I'm supporting this, the main reason, is because I was informed at a recent meeting that it is anticipated that this mural will deter some of the graffiti, and I hope that's true. And I'll support this in hopes that that's true.
Thank you. Let me see. I've got Will, Frank, Jim, Mike, Brian. Did I get that right?
I think you did. Will. Thank you, Martin. So I apologize if I missed it, but I wasn't. And I understand that this resolution deals with both the length of time, allowing it to stay up for a longer period, but also an expansion of the surface. And what I'm looking for is, what is the rationale for why the expanded surface is justified?
Carol, I'm going to answer that as committee chair. So the
city art commission came to us and said that the design that they liked and had picked and were encouraging us to give final approval to involved the an artist's vision that involved not only the rounded portion, but that the design itself includes an element that runs along. There's a picture in your packet. It is not the whole front of the library along Buffalo Street there. You got it? Yes, that. It is that little section that's X'd out at the... Jim, do you want to point to where the... It is. Yes, it's the front of the walkway. There's the stairs and the ramp, and there is a painted area there. And the design will... See, the committee saw the design, and I think it was handed out around last time. The design itself has an element that leads visually and ties in visually and points to the portion that you can already see now being painted along the rounded portion. And that was the artist's vision. It's what the city recommended. And that section that it will cover is not the brick section. It's a section that is similarly deteriorating and could use some perking up. So the committee felt that was appropriate.
Okay. I'm going to say something here because maybe it'll eliminate a couple of comments, which is that the policy we passed took us out of the art evaluation business. If this body would like to be in that business, that could be, the policy could be revised, and then we could get into approving the designs. But the way it stands, it's a pass-fail. We say, yes, you can have, you know, here are the sites, and somebody else decides on the design. So if we really want to get into that business, that's another deal. Frank and then Jim.
I think our admiration for public art is well appreciated in this community, and I'd like to call the question.
According to Peter, you can't because you made a comment first.
I withdraw my comment. May I call the question?
I'll second it.
Well, Jim's the next person. If Jim wants to call the question.
He's already spoken, too.
I will pass.
All right. I'm sorry, Frank. I'm going to go to...
Peter, hurry up and call the question.
You're passing, Mike. You're passing Jim. Going to Mike. Mike, then Brian, then Dooley.
I just thank you for what you said, Martha. We're not criticizing art here, Peter and Carol. I'm simply talking about the expansion of the area on the building for whatever art is put on there. And I think my career, the public art that I've supported, I don't think I'm at all criticizing the art.
Brian.
Most of what I had was already answered. I do want you to know I didn't start this one.
So. Well, that's good because we're making marks here.
Please note that.
Dooley.
I wanted Will to know that at the committee, when it was not a unanimous vote to move this forward, and one reason I was concerned was that I had not seen documentation of neighborhood response to the proposal, which is part of what the city commission is supposed to look at. I still haven't seen it. However, the idea of expanding it on Cayuga Street, which faces DeWitt Park, some people think is a great idea, and some, like me, think that DeWitt Park should be a peaceful park, and what you view from the park should also be less colorful. So it's a complicated subject. We don't have to approve the art. We have to approve the expansion, as Mike said, and I was not happy with that at all. However, the majority was okay.
I'm going to put myself in and then Jim. My son lives in Philadelphia. They have a lot of murals all around the city, and they're permanent, and I think they're wonderful. I don't know who decides on them, but I like them. I'm going to support this. Jim and then Peter.
I am going to call the question.
Second.
Seconded by Frank. In case there was any doubt. All in favor of calling the question on this resolution, please raise your hand. Opposed? That passes 11 to 2. So we are ready to vote on Resolution H. Please raise your hand if you're in favor.
Aye.
Oops. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed. 2 opposed. That passes 11 to 2. All right. The end of your report, Carol?
It is. It is. Unless anybody else has any questions.
All right. We will take a 10-minute break. Please be back in your seats at 8:15. Thank you.
Can we finish?
Can we get on that?